I'm just going to pick a couple of verses and read what it says and then preach to you. 1 Samuel 17, verse 23 and verse 24. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, have ye seen this man that is come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. Have you seen this man that is come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. Then the story continues. There is no doubt in my mind that there is enough of God in this place that anybody that wants to can win any battle that they're facing. No doubt in my mind that anybody in this place that really wants to could win any battle that they're facing tonight and be done with it. I believe that we know enough about the enemy that we walk out here in victory. The Bible teaches us some things that we seem to forget. James 4, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and what happens? How many have submitted to God tonight? All you got to do is resist the devil and he will flee from you. That is God's word. James chapter 2 and verse 19, you believe that there's one God. Amen. Does anybody here believe that tonight? Bible says the devils believe also, and what happens? They do what? They tremble. Come on now. I believe that's enough right there. If we'd ever preached anything else tonight, you could walk out of this auditorium and say, I've got the victory in the name of Jesus. But we're not going to stop there. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4 says, greater is he. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. If that isn't enough tonight to cause you to get up out of your seat and say, I don't have to be depressed another day in my life. I don't know what it'll take tonight. I really don't. That right there is enough, and that isn't even the introduction. Residing within every born-again believer is the power to overcome. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God does what? Overcometh the world. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Anybody born of God in this place? Anybody born again of the Spirit tonight? Amen. The Bible says, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. 1 John 5 and verse 18. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. Why are you being oppressed? Why are you struggling? I want to preach to you tonight about head games. If there's one thing the devil loves to do, it's play games with what God's people already know. If he could tonight, he would crawl inside your head and begin to fill your mind with pointless facts that really don't mean anything. Do you hear what I'm preaching to you tonight? It doesn't matter what kind of fact the devil can come up with. The Bible says he is a liar and the father of lies. If his fact is accurate, his motive is wrong. If his fact is right and can be verified, it still will come to nothing if it's met with somebody that has the faith of God and will believe God to do the work that needs to be done. I believe tonight there's some folks by word of testimony that are telling on themselves. The devil is playing with your mind. He's putting pointless facts and things inside your head that really don't need to be there. They may be true. They may be. When I read this story of Goliath, especially verses 4 through 11, there was something the devil had succeeded, or the enemy had succeeded in doing, in the mind of all Israel. They knew every fact there was about the enemy they were about to face. I imagine they got down in the tents and began to talk to each other. Have you seen this one? Have you got some kind of a concept? How tall do you think he is? Well, I heard somebody say he's 6 cubits and a span. That's a mighty big giant out there. What do you think? Well, I think he's about 6 cubits and a span. That was a fact. Hello? Come on now. The devil can give you the facts. There's no doubt about it. Well, what about his helmet? Well, I believe his helmet is of brass. And last I can tell, a helmet about that size, I reckon it weighs about 15 pounds. And that enemy out there is not only 6 cubits in a span, but that helmet on his head is about 15 pounds of brass. That's a fact. See that coat that he's wearing? I believe they call that a coat of mail. It's made of brass, and did you see the way it protects his neck and just kind of like the scales of a fish comes down across all of the vital organs of his body? And man, I believe I heard somebody the other day say that that coat of mail probably weighs 5,000 shekels. 156 pounds of brass. That is a fact. Hello? Man, I don't know what you're going to do, but that giant up there's got 156 pounds of brass hanging around his neck and just daring me to come out there. I think I'll pass. Did you see the greaves on his legs? They also are made of brass. And if I got it figured right, they weigh about 30 pounds. There's 30 more pounds of brass. I don't know if you're doing any math here, but I'm up over 200 pounds right now. Anybody here less than 200 pounds, stand up. Whew. Well, I shouldn't have done that. I should have just done it to the guys. Sit down, quick. Hurry up. I'm not looking. That giant had more armor on than some of you guys weigh. That's a fact. That giant, I shouldn't have done that. I'm sorry. That giant, I may up the number here in just a minute. But that giant had a target of brass that was able to be moved at any point in time to protect any area of his body. And that too, my friend, is a fact. And when you begin to read about the spear that he carried and the head of it that looked like a flame of fire and glistened in the sunlight as if it were on fire, it was attached to a piece of wood that is compared to a weaver's beam. I mean to tell you that giant had a way of putting a picture in the head of every soldier in Israel that had ever seen him walk. Have you seen this man? That's what I read to you. Have you seen the size of the battle that we've got to face? Have you seen how big that giant is? If you want the right number, all of his armor, according to John Gill, weighed 275 pounds and 13 ounces. I'm not going to ask you to stand up now, but I imagine most of us would say that giant has more armor than I've got me. Hello there. there's more junk hanging on him than there is standing in my two shoes. You don't think for a minute the devil didn't play games with the minds of people. I want you to realize, I read to you about the victory that belongs to the people of God. But somehow we are so wrapped up in admiring the devil. I said admiring the enemy, in telling everybody how big he is, how tall he is, how much his armor weighs. I've never seen a giant like this before. I've seen a spear like that. I've never been in a battle like this. You know what was happening? Head games. You know, when you're in that kind of a battle, it looks unwinnable to start. But when the first thing you see in the morning is a giant bigger than you, and he comes out and stands up and says, "Hey, have you got a look at me lately? I want you to see how big I am." And so the first thing you're going to face today is one more image of a giant that you cannot defeat, a battle that you cannot win, an impossibility that is standing in front of you. So now, dear soldier, what are you going to do today? I think I'll run and hide. Mind games. And just in case you thought you were going to get a good night's sleep before you tuck yourself in, out comes Goliath one more time. All 275, 13 ounces of armor. And he stands there one more time and he says, "I want you to see me before you go to bed tonight. As you toss and you turn, I want the image of your mind to constantly over and over again remember what you're going to face the first thing tomorrow morning." I'll tell you what, that's how a lot of people are living. That's how some people are really approaching their walk with God. It was there this morning, help me while I preach. It bothered me all day. And just when I thought I could get it off my back, there it was again tonight, all coated with armor and ready to fight. Amen. I want you to know that the devil is a master at putting images in your mind. I can't help but think about those spies that went up into Canaan, and they came back and said, "We are as grasshoppers in their sight. We're just so tiny, about this big in the sight of those giants." The devil is a master at playing with your mind. In fact, I read it very clearly in verse 24, "And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man." I believe Goliath liked that. A couple of years ago, they kept looking at each other around here saying, "You're the man." Anybody ever heard that? "You're the man." You know what all Israel was doing? That's the man. Right there, that's the man. Their minds were so tormented, and the picture was so impressed, that all they could do is look at an enemy and say, "That is the man." I want to preach to you tonight, but before I do, I want you to understand, Brett Favre is not the man. Ben Roethlisberger is not the man. Pick any quarterback you want. Tell me how tall he is. Tell me about his numbers, and I'll look at you and say, "That is not the man." We have gotten our eyes on all of the wrong things, and we admire men whom God wouldn't give the time of day to. And somehow, instead of talking about the anointing of God and the power that's available to us, we get our eyes on something else, and it becomes the giant of a lifetime. I believe some folks need to start pulling down the strongholds of hell. When I read this, all the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man? Whatever happened to our God?" Hello. I say, whatever happened to God? Have you seen this battle? Have you seen this man? Have you seen Goliath with all 276 pounds? Have you ever seen anything like this?
I believe God probably yawned right there. You're impressed with what? How big did you say he was? Have you ever looked up to the sky and realized I meted out the heavens with a span of my hand? That ain't nothing but a speck down there. That ain't nothing down there. You know, sometimes we are so focused on what we think is impossible that we have lost sight of the God of all possibility. I don't care how tall he is. I don't care how much armor he wears. I don't care what blasphemy he may spew. I don't care what defiance he has. I know somebody that's just waiting for the right moment. Hallelujah. I got to praying for some of you this morning. I want you to notice something about Israel. When they kept their eyes on this giant, they were encamped in a valley. Are you hearing what I'm preaching? I'll tell you what, we need to start getting a little concerned about how long we're living in this valley. I said you need to get concerned about how many days and how many nights. Well, it's only been a day. It's only been a week. It's only been a couple of months. It's been 40 days and 40 nights since anybody in Israel could throw their hands in the air and take their eyes off of Goliath and say, I'll tell you what, I've got a God that's able to do exceeding abundantly above whatever that thing thinks it is. Hello, I'm preaching to you tonight because we know we can win. But we just don't do it. We know we have the power in the name of Jesus. But we'd rather live in the valley for 40 days and 40 nights. We linger in dangerous places. Well, I'll be all right, preacher. Just give me a few more days in this valley and I'll be all right. No, 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 no. I'm starting to hate that valley you're living in. I'm starting to get real tired of that campsite. The coals of your self-pity are starting to get on my nerves. I'm getting tired of your sweaty old sack and your place of comfort and your pretend battle. Read the story carefully. They would set their battle in array and they'd go out, Brother Brock, and pretend like they really thought they were fighting. Yeah, they did. They'd run the dirt road. Hello. They'd shout with the best of them. They'd get out there and they'd kind of jockey for position and they'd joust a little bit and they'd go back and say, well, we fought a good fight, but they're still in the valley. And the giant's still on the mountain and they're still looking at something bigger than them and giving glory to a great big lump of defiance, rebellion. My God, help me. I hate rebellion. I really do. I hate it when it crops up in the cell phone. I hate it when it crops up in the dormitory. I hate it when it stands on the patio and says, I do what I want to do. I hate it when it says, I could care less about your God and your rules. I'll tell you what, it'll put you in the valley. It's a valley of discouragement. Some people live in the crossroads of fear and unbelief. Some people just simply march in the company called failure. Oh God, help us. Come here. Yeah, we didn't do too good today. But we'll try again tomorrow. And tomorrow we come and we lose again. We didn't do too good today, but we'll try again tomorrow. Oh, we didn't do too... Get away from me if you will. You know what? I'm tired of watching misery build the biggest company of God's people and say, well, this is just how we're going to live. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of people who keep putting their eyes on the enemy. And then when it comes time to battle, if they can get their eyes off of Goliath long enough, they start putting it on men. Yeah. Oh, King Saul heard that David wanted to go and fight Goliath. And so Saul looked at Goliath and said, well, he's got armor. Maybe we should give this little boy some armor here. Come here. And he threw some armor at David. He said, try that if you're going to go fight. You know what? I think sometimes we need to take a good look at what we're trying to destroy and realize you're not going to destroy it with something that's just like it. Hello. You're not going to pull down a giant by dressing yourself up with everything that man has to offer. I think we've heard it said tonight, there is a power of the Spirit of God that desires to rise up. He will not fight your battle apart from you. He will fight it through you. He will rise up within you and take down that which has plagued you. But somewhere along the line, you got to quit doing what everybody else does. You know why we do that? Because we're just not confident in who we are. The devil knows how to play games with your mind. Read what Goliath says to David. You're just a stripling. You're just a ruddy-faced little boy. Don't you know how tall I am? My armor weighs more than you do, boy. You hear me, son? And you know what happens when the devil starts that? We start trying to argue with him. And we start trying to look bigger, like a great big old blowfish. Then we put on the preacher voice. Yeah, I come to fight my battle. Help me while I try to act like a preacher. Can somebody give me an amen here? I'm trying to preach to you, and I'm doing my best to be a preacher boy. I really want everybody to know. And Goliath looks over the balcony and says, I've seen preacher boys before. I've seen that message you have. I've heard them preach that somewhere else. Hello there. I'll tell you what. We start trying to act like somebody that God never made us to be. We start dressing up in other men's ministries, other men's sermons, and try to kill our giants with other men's slings. That which we have never proven becomes what we rely upon. But there comes a time when we begin to look at ourselves not like Goliath sees us, but like God sees us. Hello. I'll tell you what. We got enough of Goliath's perspective here. You're just a little stripling. You are no mighty oak. I believe there's some boys here. That's what the devil. And I did say boy. Hello. Who you calling a boy? You don't get that mad at the devil when he calls you a boy. Why are you getting mad at me? Come on now. You don't get that mad about the devil saying stuff. I believe there's some of our boys that are looking at themselves and they're looking at some others and saying, I can never preach like them. I couldn't do what they do. If I could just get the right voice, if I could just get the right armor, if I could just deck myself out and do the right thing. Hallelujah. Glory. This thing will fall. You know what your problem is? You don't see yourself like God sees you. Let me preach to you ladies a while. My wife comes home and she tells me we're having all kinds of problems with some of the ways that young ladies dress because they're not happy with themselves the way that God has made them. They've got to paint a smile on. They've got to put something else somewhere else, do something. They've got to tighten it down, amen, till everybody knows exactly what they shouldn't know. And the whole time, the devil's telling you, if you don't do that, you'll never get a man of God. God. I'll tell you what, I don't know any man of God that's looking for a streetwalker. I really don't. I don't. But all along, the devil's telling you you're ugly. You can't sing. You'll never make it in the ministry. You'll never get anywhere with what you are. So you may as well go and adjust everything and make it look like everybody else in the world. Hey, I got news for you. You don't know what God really sees in you. You don't have a clue tonight. Because when David walked up to Goliath and Goliath started cutting him down, he looked at him and said, "You're just a boy. You don't have anything but a stick. You don't got nothing to fight me. You don't have a chance." Have you ever listened to what David said? He said, "I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts." Oh, don't get excited yet. Do you understand who the Lord of hosts is? Anybody know who the Lord of hosts is? Anybody have a clue what that term means? The Lord of hosts means He's Lord of everything on this earth. Everybody that's ever been born will at some point bow their knees and confess He is the Lord of hosts. There was a time when angelic beings refused to do such a thing. "I will exalt myself. I will ascend above the throne. I'll be like the Most High. I won't bow to Him." He did not understand that was the Lord of hosts, the Lord of all that breathes, all that moves, anything that can function. That was the Lord expelled from heaven. I've got some news for you. There's coming a day when everything in heaven and on earth and everything under the earth bows to the Lord of hosts. The Archangel Michael is numbered in that crowd. Hallelujah. I'm about to get happy. Gabriel is numbered in that crowd. And they bow to him. And at his beck and call, if God Almighty so chose, guess what? Goliath, you hear what I'm about to tell you, big boy. If God wanted to take you down, He could send Gabriel down here to set you straight. You hear me, mister? If God wanted to, He could send the Archangel Michael here. But being the Lord of hosts, the eyes of the Lord went back and forth and up and down through all the hosts of heaven and all that were on the earth. And guess what, buddy? He picked me. Come on now. You hear me, Mr. Dennett? He didn't pick an angel. He picked me. What is wrong with you? Can you not see that God reached down out of heaven and picked your scrawny little hide and said, "That's who I want"? Woo! I don't want to preach anymore. I really don't. I don't know what I could say that would cause light to shine in your eyes and hope to fill your heart anymore than God passed over Gabriel to pick David. Oh, God. Come on now. Oh, God. Well, you ain't nothing. You don't understand, Mr. Giant. You know what the problem with some of you is? You just don't see it. You just don't see it. And so the mind games rush on. I'll tell you what I like is what God saw in that boy David. He had set some patterns in life that I think are admirable. I really do. When Saul questioned him and said, "You're going to go fight?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "You're just a boy." He said, "Yeah." But if you read the story, he said, "I kept my father's sheep. And one day a lion and a bear came. I didn't bother weighing them." Hello. Hello. I said I didn't bother. Oh, that's that preacher voice. I didn't crank up my best anointing voice. I never bothered weighing that lion. It didn't make any difference to me whether it was a cub or it was the granddaddy of them all. You hear me tonight. God picks people and He equips people. God picks people and He equips them. I said, James, I'm talking to you, son. I don't care if you aren't 5 feet tall. I ain't picking on you. I'd be scared right now. That boy had some things that some of us need to learn. I ain't weighing the lion, and I'm not measuring the bear. Woo. David said, go read it in your own text. He said, I caught him by the beard. You know, I think there comes a time when people get tired of some stuff. Don't you ever get tired of being beat up on by the devil? Don't you ever get tired of constantly being told you're good for nothing. You can't sing. You can't worship. You can't preach. You can't do nothing. You'll never get anywhere in the ministry. David said, I grabbed that thing by the beard. Hello. I don't know what that lion thought. But if he could talk, I'm sure he said, nobody's ever done that before. My mama don't treat me like that, boy. My daddy don't treat me like that. You know why Brother Prenick's hard? Because he's tired of soft sissy preachers. Hello! Come on now. If mama's calling you every day and you're soaking your pillow with tears, it's time you wring it out and put it in the fire and say, look, I got giants to fight. I got lions to fight. David said, I grabbed him. I caught him. Brother, what do you do when you got a lion by the beard? You know what you did? You just crossed the line. Woo! You just went too far with this thing. And now you cannot look at him and say, sorry. Would it be all right if we just called it quits right here? No, sir. Some of you are wanting to do that with the devil. You thought you could handle him. You got him and you caught him. But oh, I love the story. I love the story. David said, I caught him by his beard and I beat him. Give me a stick. Woo. We get in trouble with sticks around here. We really do. Give me a stick. He said, I caught him. I looked him right in the eye. And I said, look, boy. Can't use that. Give me a drumstick. Anything. I caught him. You know, we could just kill him if we want to. There's something different about David. I got him now. I got him. I got him. I really do. I got him. Listen to me, puppy here, you little kitty cat. I remember when you had the stick. Yeah. It ain't about preaching. It's about getting hold of the stick. I remember when I was the one being beat. I remember you told me I couldn't shout. Look at here. Watch this here. I remember you told me I'd never preach. Go buy the CD, devil. I'm about to take my revenge because I'm tired. You know, the devil could have killed you a long time ago. But he enjoys tormenting you. He loves you to stay awake at night and cringe. When David got a hold of the beard of that lion, he said, I got you. And now I'm going to beat you. feel like beating up on the devil. Woo! Well, then don't sit there and say amen. Take your swing. I mean, David said, I've had it. I'm not just going to catch you. But for every time you tormented my sheep, I'm going to whip you. Oh, my God, you know what just came through my mind? 39 lashes upon the back of my Savior. I told you, you could preach anything from David and Goliath. 39 lashes upon the back of my Savior. I have him. I'll beat him. Go preach it the other way. It's free. Take it. But there came a day when the lion was in the other hand and the stick is in the other. I'm tired of people being beat up by the devil. I caught him and I smote him. Then I slew him. I'm going to beat up on you a while before I kill you, devil. Ooh, I like that. I really do. Aren't you tired, Brother Chris? I'm being beat up on. I want you to hold that stick for me right there. Aren't you tired? Aren't you tired of just grabbing him and catching him and saying, I got him now. I like to beat him a little bit tonight. I like to tell him there's a group of Bible school students that have been pushed around as far as they're going to be pushed. We have been mocked for the last time. We have been defied and told we'll never amount to anything far too long. How about you take a shot at the enemy right now? Huh? How about you throw your hand in the air? Say, listen, devil, we caught you for the first hour. You don't sound real serious about this. I got you, devil. I got you, enemy. I think it's time I start paying you back. For every time you told me I couldn't shout, I believe I'll shout now. For every time you told me I couldn't worship, I believe I'll do it. I'm tired of just catching the devil and then saying we put him to rest. How about we beat him up a little bit?